everyone. First of all, I would like to thank you all for coming tonight. And I would like to thank you, like the Bizarts family, for having me for this past 4 months. It's been a really nice experience, and I'm really happy to meet you, all of you. So yeah, I moved to the United States 2.5 years ago in order to get my MFA degree in Photographic and Electronic Media Department at Maryland Institute College of Art. And actually, I can say that I'm coming from a slightly different background because in my undergrad, I studied economics. But while studying economics, I started to become interested in street and documentary photography. While I was pursuing that, after graduating economics, I said to myself, why not take it seriously? And I started to apply for grad schools, and I ended up in Baltimore City 2.5 years ago. When I was at the grad school, I needed to start a project. At that time, I started to think about what home means to me. Was it about the house itself? Was it the people around me? Was it the objects that I brought with me? Or the food? But I said to myself, I mean, I had the option to decide on my future to get a proper education in the field that I was passionate about. But there are people in the world that are forced out of their countries because of political violence and war. So that's why I decided to make a project about it. At the time that I moved to Baltimore exactly coincides with the time that this Syrian refugee crisis was at the peak level, and it was really observable in the streets of Turkey, especially in the big cities, in Istanbul and Ankara. So I wanted to tell a story about this Syrian refugee crisis. And I started collaborating with the IRC, International Rescue Committee, in Baltimore. And they helped me to contact with a Syrian family that were resettled in Baltimore City in 2015. I started to do my project. I went to their homes a couple of times, and we had dinners, we made interviews, I took photographs. However, after the presidential elections in 2016, the family sent me a message through the IRC and told me to stop taking photographs for them. So this was the first time I encountered invisibility while pursuing my project. This was right after the statements of the administrations about the refugee families, Muslim refugee families in United States of America, and right after that, the travel ban for the several Muslim countries also came. At that time, my project stopped for a while, and then I went back to Turkey in order to spend some time with my family, to spend the summer there, and I met Arif, the Syrian refugee boy, 13 years old, we started to collaborate with him. I started to collaborate with him. I gave him a camera, and he started photographing his own environment, his friends, his family. And then, 4 months later, I revisited Turkey, and due to a conflict broke out in the neighborhood that they were living in, Arif and his family decided to move to another place. But we couldn't get the information about where they moved or how they moved. So this was the second time I encountered invisibility and this constant mobility, we can say, or the temporality. So at that time, I decided to evoke those feelings, the invisibility and the temporality and this constant mobility. And I took my camera and I started to trace the photographs that Arif took. So I basically tried to make a connection between the photographs he made to the between the photographs he made and the places that this family were living in. But what is interesting is Arif didn't photograph the places that he was living in. So that connection also, with that simple walk by, like walking is the simplest form of traveling, right? So with this 17 minutes walk, not only the landscape changed, changes, but also the ideas of self and other also changes. Temporality and invisibility also changes. So that was why these were the ideas that I was trying to evoke. So also I have a second project that I'm showing tonight in this exhibition. It's called 21 Days. So at the age of 18, in Turkey at the age of 18, every single male are obligated to serve for the military for 6 months or 12 months. And our government doesn't give us the option to file an objection to, according to our religious or social beliefs, so you don't have any other option. But this summer, on August 2018, our government ratified a temporary law which enables the male citizens to pay for a certain amount of money in order to do their military service for 21 days instead of 6 months or 12 months. So, and they gave us 3 months of application period. So this is a temporary law. In that 3 months, 600,000 male citizens applied for this law, and I'm one of them. And our government assigned each one of us for different periods of time, and I will be going back to Turkey after this exhibition, actually, like on February, and my military service will be on April. So I made 21 photographs, each representing a day that I will be serving in the military. And I positioned the camera in the back of my head because this whole experience is kind of a detachment. The temporality is also here. Like this is kind of a detachment from my social life because I'm leaving everything behind and going back in order to serve this obligation that I have. And also, this is a temporal detachment from my facial appearance as well. In the video, you can see that as well. And so this whole notion of temporality and detachment was interesting to me in this piece as well. I want to check my notes, not to skip anything. And also by showing the details of my head, this haircut, I'm trying to emphasize this manhood and order of this militaristic experience that I'll be having in an intimate way, in a way. So even though these stories are different and the subjects are different, I think there are some common threads that consist in both projects. And I think these common threads are coming along with the exhibition title, Distance, which refers to both the physical distance and the psychological distance that consists in these two projects. So I started as a street photographer, and that's why with simple things, with a simple walk or with a haircut, I'm trying to explore these regular, ordinary things and open up the conversation deeper with those simple acts, we can say. So yeah, I think that's all. Thank you very much. How long? 17 minutes.
It's a bit of a personal question with this. I'm wondering what is the monetary amount that allows you to file for that acceptance, and whether it was an extreme position of privilege to be able to ask for that, and then how do you feel like that relates to this? Because they're directly across from each other, or did you just mean that as this is one body of work, or did you want them to be read together?
Actually, it was kind of separate, but what I try to achieve with the ideas are kind of similar. But it's $3,000 to file for this privilege. So in this body of work, I also have that ambivalence coming from that privilege. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm lucky enough to be paying for this, but not everyone does. So, yeah.
Yeah,
So it was just by chance that these ended up together? You didn't see that as a connection directly to this outside of this
Not situation? Directly. Oh, okay. Not directly.
As far as social strata in Turkey, and I presume there are different classes of people, and so therefore I would presume that some people would not be able to afford that.
Yes.
What is the social sentiment? Is there any dialogue within the country about that?
Exactly. It's a controversial.
It is controversial.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It is.
Thank
yeah.
you.
When this law was ratified, there was this whole dialogue between, like, is this a privilege or do we deserve this? Yeah, it's controversial.
Right. Was it done for the government to fund some of their effort?
Like, actually, right now, Turkish government, like, the economy is a little bit declining, and it also, for example, this law ratified in 1997 as well, because there was a huge earthquake and a lot of people died, and the government needed to fund to recover from that earthquake. So, yeah, it's kind of because of economic decline, we can say that. Yeah, and also there's this. Surplus of men right now, our generation. Yeah, that's why they cannot assign everyone to everywhere, and that's why they also. It's another reason for them to ratify this law.